Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. Congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 416, the stanzas 3 and 5. O my soul, why art thou grieving? Why disquieted in me? Hope in God, thy faith retrieving. Let him still thy refuge be. And what follows? Psalter 416, the stanzas 3 and 5.
Thank you.
the portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in Isaiah 11, beginning with the 10th verse to the end of chapter 12. First, the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, he descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Isaiah 11, beginning with verse 10 to the end of chapter 12. And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people, to which shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall set his hand again the second time to recover the remnant of his people, which shall be left from Assyria and from Egypt, from Pathros and from Cush, and from Elam and from Shinar and from Hamath and from the islands of the sea. And he shall set up an ensign for the nations, and shall assemble the outcast of Israel, and gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. The envy also of Ephraim shall depart, and the adversaries of Judah shall be cut off. Ephraim shall not envy Judah, and Judah shall not vex Ephraim. But they shall fly upon the shoulders of the Philistines toward the west. They shall spoil them of the east together. They shall lay their hand upon Edom and Moab, and the children of Ammon shall obey them. And the Lord shall utterly destroy the tongue of the Egyptian sea, and with his mighty wind shall he shake his hand over the river, and shall smite it in the seven streams, and make men go over dry shod. And there shall be an highway for the remnant of his people, which shall be left from Assyria, like as it was to Israel in the day that he came up out of the land of Egypt. And in that day thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee. Though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also is become my salvation. Therefore with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. And in that day shall ye say, praise the Lord, call upon his name, declare his doings among the people, make mention that his name is exalted. Sing unto the Lord, for he hath done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Cry out and shout, thou inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee. Let us try to ask the Lord for his indispensable blessing. Our Lord of the heavens and of all the earth, then it is thy good and thy gracious hand that has watched over us and our children in this day, and that has brought us up to thy house. May we be humbled under all thy goodness with a sincere confession of our sins and of our unthankfulness and the need for that blood. Lord, that is thy work, which thou worketh in the heart of the children of men by thy Holy Spirit. Wilt thou bless what was heard in this morning hour, and wilt thou bless thy word in this evening hour. The prophet of old has declared, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, as saith the Lord of hosts. A service of preparation, where when thou shalt grant it on the coming Lord's day, then the holy supper of the Lord Jesus Christ hopes to be administered in the midst of the congregation. And then we are called to examine our hearts and our lives according to thy holy word. Then it concerns the wedding garment, and then to examine whether by thy grace we have learned the great, the desperate need for such a garment to cover our nakedness and our sins before a good doing, a just, an all-knowing and an almighty God. Ah, Lord, 'tis thine own work to work that godly sorrow that leadeth to that repentance not to be repented of. It is thy work to teach thy people with all their exercises, with all their strivings, with all their reformation, that they are a guilty sinner still, and that the cry is born, whether there is a way for such a sinner to be saved and to be reconciled with thee. Thou was written in thy holy word, and this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent, O Lord. May it please thee in this evening hour to use thy word, that sinners may be converted, that they may be given to see and experience what they miss and what they need. Then the gospel chariot may still ride through the midst of the congregation. But, our Lord, thou knowest how deeply we have fallen. The natural man understandeth and desireth not the things that are spiritual, and no desire for him in the gospel chariot. But, our Lord, when thou worketh, then we become a seeking people, and then it is the work of thy Spirit to make room for thine only begotten Son in the hearts of the children of men, where thy justice may be satisfied and where their debt may be forgiven. Then it is so necessary those further leadings, because thou wast king, thou hast declared to thy church, do this in remembrance of me. Wilt thou grant unto thy children exercises to that end, hungering and thirsting? Could it be a burning heart, as it was with those travelers to Emmaus, where the Lord's Supper may declare him that is fairer than the children of men? Well, to grant a prayer for one another, we commend unto thee thy church over the length and the breadth of the earth, the established churches. Wilt thou continue to remember, to uphold, and comfort the persecuted church? Remember mission work, also our mission field, thy servants and the team, the father and mother, with the learning of the language. We commend unto thee the land of Israel, where there is war, ah Lord. May they be given to cry unto thee, and that also this way of great affliction, that it may be used, that they may learn with their understanding that the promised Messiah has come, who sitteth at the right hand of the Father, but more so by the work of thy Spirit, that it may be learned among that people experientially, that a self-righteous Jew can only be saved by thy free and sovereign grace, the work of a triune God and our Lord. That is so necessary, so indispensable for us and our children, we humbly ask thee, in these serious and solemn times, that thou may do a great work amongst us, and that there may be a hastening for our life's sake. We commend unto thee the nations of the earth, also our poor nation, that has departed so far from thy word and from thy institutions. We commend unto thee a young couple who were united in holy matrimony in the past week. They have begun life's journey together. Wilt thou bless thy holy word to their young hearts? On the first Sabbath of their marriage, convert them, as thou doth convert all thy people. And remember the young couple who soon hope to be united in holy matrimony. Grant them a place at thy footstool. Remember the father and mother whom on the last Sabbath day thou wast blessed with a double blessing. Thou wast granted unto them two precious gifts. Still in the hospital, but hopefully allowed that the parents may take their precious gifts home in this week. Wilt thou grant them a humble and a broken heart, and may they be children for thee, for thy honor and for thy glory. Remember the grandparents with their increased blessings and increased responsibility. Remember all the mothers with the unborn. Lord, we commend unto thee the sick and afflicted, the father in the hospital with grave concerns. May it please thee to bless the means that in this week he may return to his dwelling. Remember him together with his dear wife, and then by renewal thou art speaking. May this speaking be used by thee. May it be sanctified. We remember the mourning ones. Remember the elderly ones. Wilt thou remember the handicapped ones? Bless the family circles. Lord, we now humbly ask thee for thy gracious help. 'Tis written in thy holy word of that little lad. He had not so much, a few loaves and a few fishes, but oh, when it was multiplied, then a great multitude was fed. And thou art the same to that end, anoint with fresh oil from above. Remember the listeners, go from bench to bench, and from heart to heart, and from dwelling to dwelling, ah Lord. Grant then a good hour, could it be, an unforgettable hour in thy courts. Wilt thou pardon us of all of our sins, in Jesus' name, amen. Psalter 77, the 5 stanzas. O Lord, by thee delivered, I thee with songs extol. My foes thou hast not suffered to glory over my fall. And what follows? Psalter 77, the 5 stanzas. in this evening hour with the help of the Lord. We wish to ask your attention for our text words, which you can find in Isaiah 12, the first verse and the first part of the second verse, where God's word and our text reads thus: "And in that day thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee. Though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid." Our text words speak of, O Lord, I will praise thee, with four thoughts as they can be found in verse 1. First, in that day. Secondly, though thou wast angry with me. Thirdly, thine anger is turned away. And fourthly, thou comfortest me. O Lord, I will praise thee. In that day, though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away, thou comfortest me. Thus first, in that day. Beloved congregation, when the Lord shall give it, then on the coming Lord's Day, the Holy Supper of our Lord Jesus Christ hopes to be administered in the midst of the congregation. And then according to the Word of God, then we are called to examine our hearts, our lives, our desires, and our exercises. And then concerning the Lord's Supper, then we need a wedding garment. That which we have received freely by free and sovereign grace, and then matters need to be experienced as we hope for the true church to find in our text, because our text does not only speak of some feelings, emotions, even convictions, they are necessary, but there are profound matters explained in our text words. And then the prophet, the name of the church, may be given to begin this song, O Lord, I will praise thee. And to praise someone, then we need to know the giver, and then we shall know the reason why we are given to praise. In that day, our text words have been taken out of the prophet Isaiah, many times called the evangelist of the Old Testament, where he is so richly and vividly described and prophesied of the golden chariot of the greater Solomon and the way of promise concerning his birth, his life, his suffering, his death, and his exaltation. than the prophecy of Isaiah. We can divide it into two parts. The first 39 chapters concern more the events which have taken place during the life of the prophet Isaiah. And the chapters 40 through 66 concerning events which would take place after his death, when the children of Judah would be in captivity in Babylon, although the one portion does not exclude the other. Because in the first chapters, in the time of Isaiah, and we read in chapter 1, verse 1, that he prophesied in the time of King Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, thus approximately in the year 758 to 698, it was in the time that Assyria was becoming a world power. And in the year 722, then the 10 tribes have been carried into captivity. Assyria has already been conquered. Thus then there were no buffer states left between the land of Canaan and the mighty Assyrian Empire. And then the Lord in his mercy has given a prophet to warn them of their sins, to repent unto the Lord, and also not to trust in the vain promises of Assyria. Think of King Sennacherib, and also not to trust on that broken reed of Egypt, but to simply trust in the Lord. And for his people, when they would call upon his name, that he would deliver. But then it is very clear in the prophecy of Isaiah that he speaks of greater things, and not only of the deliverance of his Zion out of the hand of the enemy, and also that they would return from captivity, but he is given to speak of the New Testament church, and that also the luster thereof shines forth in our text words. That is the time when Christ would come upon the world to save his church, and the great work that he would do upon the earth. And then in our text, then it begins, and in that day, that is the day of the Lord's good pleasure, we have also made a day. In that day, when we have fallen in our covenanted Adam, in the day, oh, think of the saints, that they have fallen so deeply. In the day, because in the time of Uzziah, under King Uzziah, and Jeroboam the second, who was king over the 10 tribes, and then the Lord has given great political and outward prosperity. But in that day, there were so few praisers upon the earth, an unthankful people. But now in our text, it speaks, and in that day, thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee. And then it is clear that in this chapter, and that it speaks of gospel blessings, because in former chapters, Isaiah 7 verse 14, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and thou shalt call his name Emmanuel. And Isaiah 9 verse 6, unto us a child is born, a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and thou shalt call his name Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, the Prince of Peace, and the Everlasting Father. When we read in that day, we read the same expression two times in chapter 11 as we have read it together. And then in the first 10 verses, it speaks of the rod of the stem of Jesse, that a branch shall grow, and that he shall stand for an ensign. Then in verse 11, he shall set his hand the second time to recover. The first time we could speak of the time of Egypt, but that the captives would also be recovered. Then in verse 12, then we read an ensign for the nations. We read of outcasts and dispersed. Are there a few outcasts in my midst? Dispersed ones. With those holy desires, those vehement longings, and that can feel that they are so at the end of the earth. Captivity, all their own fault, have tried to deliver themselves, but still dispersed. To that people, then that ensign is declared. And then we read in that day, in verse 13, that the envy of Ephraim shall depart. They shall not vex one another, bound together around the old truths and the old ways. And in verse 14, together they shall fly upon the shoulder of the Philistines. And in verse 16, it speaks of a highway for the dispersed and the outcast to return to the holy city of God, where we read in John 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Thus that in that day, that is the day of free and sovereign grace. In that day, that is the promised day which the Lord has promised for a Zion. In that day, it is a prayed for day. Do we not read in Isaiah 64 verse 1, oh, that thou wouldest rend the heavens, that thou wouldest come down. It was a waited for day, because the Lord has a waiting people upon the earth, declared in the Psalms, Psalm 27, the verses 13 and 14, Psalm 130 verse 5, and Habakkuk has said that he was given to wait for that day. And for that day, the prophet, the church, is given to praise the Lord. We read, O Lord, that is an O of faith, an O of love, an O of need, and all of desire with that vehement desire that the Lord may be praised. It does not say that the church shall praise themselves. They have many reasons with the publican continually to smite upon their breast, but it is the desire to praise thee, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And then the prophet in this song is given to declare very clearly. He is given to speak of matters that are experienced in the heart of God's people. Profound reasons to praise the Lord. Our second thought, though thou wast angry with me. Tis true for the children of Judah, also angry against us as a people, that we have forgotten the fountain of living waters and hewn out ourselves broken cisterns which can hold no water. Though thou wast angry with me. Have we learned something there of congregation? Of that anger of the Lord, then we shall not walk so easy over the earth. And the context for the children of Judah, the Lord was angry with them. The Lord has sent his prophets. They have wept. They have begged. The people of Judah to forsake their idol worship, their sins, to repent, and to turn to the living God. But that people did not hearken, undoubtedly. There were many among them that thought prophet. The prophets has told us so long already that the Lord shall punish us. And everything remains the same. Outwardly, especially in the time of King Uzziah and Jeroboam the second, they were very prosperous. That also our thought congregation heard it so long already, so many years, that the Lord shall come to punish the inhabitants of the earth. And we still live in a time of prosperity, though the Lord is speaking by renewal. What is transpiring in the land of Israel? And how is it with us? Do we perceive it? Do we see it? That the Lord's anger is kindled? Or do we more resemble Jonah sleeping the bottom of the ship? Ah, the Lord. He is so long-suffering, but that long-suffering shall come to an end. And then that anger has been experienced in special and profound ways. When city and temple were burnt, and where many were taken into captivity, though thou wast angry with me. then we speak of the uncovering work of the Holy Spirit, but we also speak of a backsliding church. Because in the Bible, it is specifically mentioned that the Lord was also angry with his people. Two times concerning Moses, he has said in the book of Deuteronomy, the Lord was angry with me for your sake. Where he has smitten the rock the second time instead of spoken, we read that the Lord was angry with Aaron for making that golden calf. The Lord was angry with Solomon taking strange wives and making houses for their gods. Though thou wast angry with me, there's a very bitter thing when there is anger among mankind. What a terrible thing it is when there is anger between husband and wife in the family circle. When we think of the anger of man, that is very difficult for our constitution, very unpleasant for our fellow man. And the Lord must punish anger, of course. There is written in the Bible of that holy anger. And that is against sin when it concerns God's holy name. But now in our text, though thou wast angry with me, God's anger, that is a perfect, a holy anger that flows forth from his righteousness. It is a just anger. It is a continual anger. It is a powerful anger. And it is an anger that shall be exercised. Young and old, I read in Psalm 7, verse 11, that the Lord is angry with the wicked every day. Is that not a solemn thought? Should that not be our concern? And then I ask you in this evening hour, have we now truly become exercised with that holy anger of a good doing and a just God? Because if that has not taken place, what must we then do with the Savior? Then we can live on so easily. Oh, may the prayers be multiplied for that uncovering work of the Spirit. And then we shall learn the Lord's anger because of our transgressions against the law. Then we shall learn that the Lord is angry because we hearken not to his voice. Then the Lord is angry because we refuse to repent. Then the Lord is angry that there is so little praise and so little thanksgiving. then the Lord is angry when the gospel chariot rides through the midst of the congregation and that the calling goes out. And when we are like those in Luke 14, where the servants of the king have went out, the one a piece of ground, the other some oxen, and the other one has married a wife. Though thou wast angry with me. And then in our text words, then we read that word anger two times. But the second time is a different word in the Hebrew than the first. And the second anger, that also has much reference to the face. The Lord has a people upon the earth by the work of the Holy Spirit that anger that burdens them, they learn all their own fault. And on account of that love which the Lord has shed abroad in their heart, then it is such an unbearable anger. Then they are given to pray. Then they are given to beg. And we read of that people that it is a blessed people. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Blessed are they that mourn. Then we become a mourner. Then we begin to weep those bitter and sweet tears that we have angered and that we do anger the Lord. Then we are given to beg for a smile from heaven, for a token of his favor, that he still has mercy, though thou wast angry with me. And that is not only in beginning, blessed that people that may be continually exercised to say it reverently with the face of the Lord. Can be those times when it becomes so still, when it becomes so silent, when the Lord hides his face, when the prayers do not go so high. And alas, we have the example and the Song of Solomon, chapter 5, of the bride that was lying on the bed of slothfulness. Though thou wast angry with me, the Lord has a people, and in that day thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee. Then they are also given to praise the Lord for his justice and for his holiness. But now it is the work of the Spirit for that people. Though thou wast angry with me, to make room, what we read in Psalm 30, verse 5, his anger endureth but for a moment, but joy cometh in the morning. Because concerning our second point, though thou wast angry with me, speaks of the past, then the prophet may speak of that anger. Thine anger is turned away. Our third thought, let us first sing. Psalter 230, the stanzas 1, 2, 3, and 6. Lord, thou hast greatly blessed our land. Thou hast brought back our captive band. Thy pardoning grace has made us free and covered our iniquity. And what follows? Psalter 230, the stanzas 1, 2, 3, and 6. Thank you. O Lord, I will praise thee. In that day, though thou wast angry with me, and now thirdly, thine anger is turned away. In the context, in the history of Israel, that has taken place different times. If we think of Isaiah 36 and 37, when King Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, has come to Jerusalem, and Hezekiah with that letter has went to the temple and laid it all before the Lord. Then our text would be fulfilled. Thine anger is turned away. When the Lord has sent the angel of the Lord and destroyed 185,000 Assyrians, the Lord's anger was returned. The Lord's anger was turned away when the children of Judah, the dispersed, the outcast, when the Lord has stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, and that the children were privileged to return to the promised land. Thine anger is turned away. Then also in the context of what we read before, concerning the dear Son of God, who would come in the fullness of time, and then how true it has become that the Lord's anger was turned away. How was that now possible? Does the Lord overlook sin? What do you think, congregation? How do you live with sin? That people that learns of that anger are given to agree with the Lord's anger, that it is just, but it is a people that cannot miss the Lord. And then they are given to ask, and it is the work of the Holy Spirit in the life of His true people to show unto them how His anger is turned away. That is through the dear Son of God. Oh, then all the anger of the Lord against this church was laid upon that precious mediator, the Lord Jesus Christ. Thine anger is turned away. Then see in Church of God, in the Garden of Gethsemane, where His Father has given that cup full of wrath, full of anger against the sin of His people. That cup was so full, it was so terrible, that Christ has even prayed, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I wilt, but as thou wilt. Oh, see him then in the judgment hall, where the anger, judicial anger, was upon the Son of God. He was scourged. The psalmist has declared, the plowers have plowed upon my back. See him then on Golgotha's hill. See him then on the cross. There we are given to see the anger of the Lord against sin. Oh, what a willing Savior. What a loving Savior. An inviting Savior. Oh, Church of God, it is declared, thine anger is turned away. He is hung in 3 hours darkness. Anger was so great. Face of his Father was hidden. My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He has cried out, I thirst. But thine anger is turned away, because he has cried out, it is finished. Has been confirmed by the rending of the veil. Has been confirmed on the morning of the resurrection. That his Holy Father has sent an angel to roll the stone away from the mouth of the tomb. It was the Father's amen upon the Son's work in the state of his humiliation that he has quenched that anger, because he has suffered. He has died. He has shed his precious blood. Oh, thine anger is turned away, declared in Isaiah 7 verse 14, in that precious name of Emmanuel, God with us. Thine anger is turned away, confirmed in that precious name, as we read in Isaiah 9 verse 6, the Prince of Peace. In paradise, we have declared war. By nature, we are at war with our Maker, because we read in Romans 8 verse 7, that the natural man is enmity, the heart is at enmity with God. Thine anger is turned away. The psalmist has written in Psalm 45 verse 2 that he is fairer than the children of men. Grace is poured out upon his lips. O Lord, I will praise thee for thy precious gift. I will praise thee for thy precious work. I will praise thee for thine instruction, for thy revelation, a way possible that a sinner as I am, an outcast, dispersed, black and vile, thousand reasons to be sent to hell. But now the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ, that for such a one, O Paul, has stated in 1 Timothy 1 verse 15, and this is a faithful saying, and worthy of all acceptation, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Thine anger, all thy anger, against all the sins of the church, original, actual, commission, omission, the list is long. O Lord, I will praise thee. And then our forethought, thou comfortest me. When we consider our last 3 points, then our second point, though thou wast angry with me, then it speaks especially of the Father, wherein the economy of the three persons, then the Father upholds his justice. Our third thought, thine anger is turned away, that speaks especially of the meriting work of the Son of God. And then our last thought, thou comfortest me, that speaks of the Holy Ghost, can never be separated, but must be distinguished. And now we read in our text, thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. There's the work of the Spirit to comfort. And that is a work already when the Lord begins. Because in the moment of regeneration, then he plants in such a heart faith, hope, and love. And to that end, when we are convicted of our sin, then such a people does not run away, but they sit under an uncovering preaching. And then they shall say concerning our misery that not the half was told. Thus in our text words, then we hear of misery, deliverance, and gratitude. And now concerning that comfort, we read in Hosea 2 verse 14, I will allure her and bring her into the wilderness and speak comfortably to her. And there is spoken of a door of hope in the valley of Achor. The Lord, he comforts his people when they may sit under the preaching of law and gospel, when they may be encouraged. He grants comfort when they come on their knees in secret places and may unburden their heart and given to believe that their prayers go higher than the ceiling. They are comforted when they are instructed. The Lord comforts his people when he grants further leadings. But in our text words, then it speaks especially of that comfort of the further leadings concerning an experiential and saving knowledge of the Son of God. And now concerning the true people of God, then there shall be many struggles and many onslaughts and many riddles and trouble with the devil. And now to strengthen that faith and to comfort and instruct this people, then the King in his love, he has given unto his church 2 sacraments, and that for the strengthening of faith. And then it pleases the King also to use the sacrament of the Lord's Supper to instruct, to comfort, and to encourage concerning the precious meritorial work of Jesus Christ. And to that end, the King has said, do this in remembrance of me. Thus that tells us that we need an experiential knowledge of the dear Son of God. And when that takes place, then our exercises shall become different. For thine anger is turned away, so richly declared in the broken bread and the poured out wine. The Lord grant exercises to that end, young and old. What do we know of these matters? Have we become exercised with that anger still declared? The gospel chariot may still ride through the midst of the congregation. Oh, my unconverted fellow travelers, beg the Lord for that precious work, because the natural man has not a desire to receive a place in that chariot, not a love for the Savior, not a love for his ways and for his laws. Ah, then for the unconverted man, we would say an unbearable place to be. But oh, beg the Lord for that renewing grace and to be given to experience our text. Is there a people that is exercised with that anger can also be with the Lord's disfavor? Think of David. There were times that he was exercised because he has experienced the disfavor of the Lord. But now the necessity concerning that anger, because people, we cannot live off a knowledge of our misery. We need those further leadings. We need to be brought to a saving knowledge of the dear Son of God and to be given to experience, embraced by true saving faith, what the Lord grants, and that is the pardoning of all of our sins. O Lord, I will praise thee the day of tomorrow. We hope to come together for Thanksgiving Day, past season. The Lord has not taken one away among young and old by the cold hand of death. O Lord, I will praise thee. Have we become exercised with those words the past week, given to think of Thanksgiving Day, the multitude of his blessings? The Lord has a people upon the earth. 'Tis a blessing when there may be souls exercised with Thanksgiving Day, knowing where we ought and must come. Ah, Job, in Job 23, verse 16, has declared, "For God maketh my heart soft, and the Almighty troubleth me." May it bring us on our knees and given to beg that the Lord may grant a special Thanksgiving Day, even outwardly, that we become small but above all by the grace of God, the Lord has a people upon the earth that on Thanksgiving Day that they need that precious mediator, the right hand of the Father as their atoning, their praying and thanking high priest. Ah, may it be in the day of tomorrow that it may be fulfilled by the first time, but also by renewal, and in that day, Thanksgiving Day 2023, thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee in the way of providence, but more so in the way of grace. Though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. Amen. Let us close. Lord, we may humbly thank thee for another Lord's Day, the opportunity to come up to thy courts for so many upon the face of the earth. Was not possible. Great multitudes no desire. We humbly ask thee, wilt thou bless thy word? Be the after preacher. May it be in this night that there may be exercises concerning thy anger, the need for thy anger to be turned away. Ah, Lord, thou as a people for whom it is not strange and the further leadings, but also exercises concerning Thanksgiving Day. All we read in thy word of the multitude above, the angels, the 24 elders, that they have cried out, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive all the honor and the power and glory, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are created, Lord. We have lost our purpose. Ah, watch over us in this night, and bring us together within the walls of thy house. And may it be a little thanksgiving. Thou knowest how poor that we are. Ah, may we be given to count our blessings one by one, a soft heart and yet troubled. Oh, the times are solemn and serious. Lord, forgive us of all of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Our closing Psalter, Psalter 234, the stanzas 1, 3, 4, and 5. O Lord, my God, my joyful heart will give thee praise forevermore. For rich in grace to me thou art, my soul from death thou didst restore. And what follows, 234, 1, 3, 4, and 5. Receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.